series of messages, and I must say that I am a witness to what Shakespeare once said when he said that partings are such sweet sorrows.
Always very difficult to bid farewell to a very generous and a very kind people. I want to say about this pastor that he is probably one of the more generous and kind pastors that I've ever had the privilege to fellowship with. He has extended himself no end, and unknown to you, I've had a very busy week. We have difficulty in our headquarters here, and we required that the officers be at the headquarters in on Nanny Helen Burroughs Avenue most of the weekend. As a vice president of our convention, it required that I be there in the day. This pastor has gotten up and carried me there and waited for me, come back to pick me up and taken me out there throughout this week. That was not a part of anything that he was required to do for. That was my obligation to the national body of which I serve. But he did that. He thought it not robbery to be that kind to his evangelist. And I will thank him publicly for doing that, for assisting us. And we ask for your prayers. Our convention needs your prayers, for we have a crisis on our hands, and we're in the midst of a crisis. Satan seeks many ways to interfere with the work of the Lord when it seems as if you're doing good. And today again, I've been busy most of the day on the phone, long distance, calling on the business of this convention. California and Philadelphia and all over the country, I've been calling. I want to thank this pastor. I want to thank these officers and these deacons and these trustees. And Deacon Beatty has been just a gem. Not thought it robbery to come and get us and bring us to the church and let us come and go in style. Amen. I like style. Amen. I like style. I like style. And I'm very happy to have had the acquaintance. Let me thank those of you that have been coming here this week that are not members of this church. You didn't think it robbery to come across the city, to leave your home church and come here to be our guest this week. And I said thank you. I'm sure you could have been doing something else. I'm sure you were not here because you didn't have anything else to do.
My Lord.
But you were kind, and I never take people's kindness for granted. My grandmama taught me how to say thank you. Even in the lowland of the South, they would say much obliged. And I want to say thank you to each one of you for your warm handshakes and for your concerns. I want to say thank you for all that you've done. I want to thank you for helping us with our material, and many of you bought our products, and I'm hoping that others of you tonight will do that. Before you leave, you ought to take at least one tape with you before you leave tonight, that you might have a memento of our trip here. I want to thank my cousin Edgar for he not thinking it robbery to help his big cousin out with that. But this kid has been doing that for a long time. For when I was stationed out at Bowling Air Force Base and I would run short of money, he had a paper route. I would come pick him up and take him around to collect on his paper route, then borrow the money that he collected and give him a quick ride around the block and drop him off. And then I would put 50 cents worth of gas. You got to understand, gas wasn't but 20 cents a gallon. in the car, and then I'd be on the town for that night. And he has been with me, and his sister Joyce and her husband Walter and their mother that have been coming. My mother only has one living sister, one sister. They're close, and I thank God for that. I think sometimes she thinks I'm her son. She forget that I'm her nephew. But we thank God for the closeness in that family. I thank God for you. We ask your prayers. We're home next week, and as I said to you last night, this time 1 month ago I was in the hospital, hooked up to IVs and all kind of catheters and all kinds of other things, laying flat on my back in a hospital bed. And the Lord has seen fit to raise us up and stand us up. Isn't that right? Isn't God good? Oh, I praise God. I praise his name. Isn't he good? What a mighty God we serve. Oh, he's so good. We had 10,000 tongues. We could not praise him enough. I thank God for you. As I told you when we started Monday night that we would be filming this week, and these films that we're making, we'll get you on them. And we want to let the world know that we believe in having a good time serving the Lord. They have a good time on MTV and all of them. We want the world to know that our religion is no burden to us. That it is a joy to serve the Lord. Amen. I don't want to bother with nothing now that if it's going to cause me any displeasure. Amen. I'm not voluntarily engaging in anything that I don't get the pleasure from. And when my religion becomes a burden, and then I think that I've got to go back in my closet and re-examine my conversion when my religion becomes a burden. But my religion is a joy. I get joy out of serving the Lord. I don't know about you, but I get joy. I get happiness out of serving the Lord. And let me tell you something else. It gets sweeter as the days go by. Do you hear what I'm saying? Somebody said it's like honey in a honeycomb. It gets sweeter as the days go by. The closer I get to the setting of the sun, my religion gets that much sweeter. And I tell you, had I known 25, 30 years ago like I know now, amen, I would have been serving the Lord with a little bit more gumption and grit. Amen. Because it certainly is a sweet journey. It's an uphill journey, but it's a sweet journey. Isn't that right? Don't let folk tell you about going up the rough side of the mountain. The rough side is the easy side. You ought to try going up the slick side. Can I get a witness here? Amen. The rough side, I said, is the easy side. On the rough side, you can get a toehold. Amen. You can get a toehold. The slick side is where you have difficulty, because you just keep what? Sliding right on back down. Hallelujah. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for you. I thank God that he has been so good and he's brought us so far. We're going to be praying for you and praying for this great church. And we ask that you pray for us, that as we go throughout the remainder of this year, going across this land and this nation, telling men and women that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand tonight. God has my woman, he has set me to me. I don't know about you. I'm talking about for myself here. God has smiled on me. He has set me. Daniel, beginning at the 16th verse. Daniel 3, 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about faith tried by fire. Faith tried by fire. Faith is something that many of us talk about, but few of us have much of. Can I get a witness? I contend that you have more faith in a pew bench than you do in the Lord. For when you came in here tonight, I doubt if any of you tested the bench that you are now sitting on before you sat down. Can I get a witness? You just came in and sat down because you had faith that the bench would support your weight. Can I get a witness here? We ought at least to have that much faith in the Lord. Can I get a witness here? We ought to believe that God will do what he said he would. We ought to believe that. We talk about how much we believe that God is a healer, and the minute we get a headache, we run looking for an aspirin, a Buffering, an Anacin. Can I get a witness here? We ought to at least believe that God will do what he said he would. Hebrews tries to answer that question for us on what is faith. Hebrews 11 and 1 said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Isn't that right? I can recall as a young man, I was a public school teacher, Cincinnati, Ohio, and I would come through the projects on my way to school and back home. I walked to school each day, and that was an old gentleman that lived in the projects who was a preacher, about 80 years old, and he would sit out under a tree, and he and I struck up a conversation, and he discovered that I was a young licentiate, and I was in the ministry and also teaching, and we would discuss the Bible. On one afternoon, as I came through there, old man Smith said to me, boy, you know what faith is? I said, yes, sir. And in my best voice, I said to him, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said, now, do you know what that means? I said, I think so. He said, now let me make that live for you. He said, when I was a boy growing up in Mississippi, said, my daddy and mama lived on a farm. And there were seven of us children. And we were poor itinerant farmers, and we didn't have a whole lot. But kill a hog every year. And every now and then, my daddy would have country ham for breakfast. My mama would cut off a big hunk of that ham, he said, and she would fry it in the skillet. And after she would finish frying that ham, she would make some red-eye gravy. Why? Can I get a witness here? He said that my mama would give my daddy the ham, and she would give us children the gravy. He said, the gravy smelled like the ham. The gravy tastes like the ham. But the gravy was not the ham. The gravy was the substance of things hoped for. Can I get a witness here? He said, well, let's go farther. He said, suppose when you get home today and you walk in your house and you see your door standing open and your television is gone and you look around in your house and your silverware is gone and as you look in your house you see dresser drawers open and clothes strewn all over the floor. He said, what would you say? I said to him, I'd say, I've been robbed. He said, how do you know? Did you see the robber? I said, no. He said, did anybody in the neighborhood said they saw a robber? I said, no. He said, well, how would you come to the conclusion that you've been robbed? I said, because that would be the evidence of things not seen. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A baby or an infant child has faith in its parents because the parents have fed it and changed it and bathed it and nursed it and done many other things and has cared for it and got up in the night when it would cry and would attend to the baby. And therefore, if as they did when I was a boy growing up, they would have high porches and there would be those that would stand on the ground and we would get great joy of jumping off the porch into someone's arms and they say, I'll catch you. Well, the child will not jump to anybody. Amen. But if the father or mother says jump, the child will jump because the child has faith that mama or daddy will catch me. A stranger, they don't know because they've never tried you. You've never been tested. They don't have any evidence that you will do what you say you'll do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had faith in God because they had evidence that God will take care of his own. Can I get a witness? They had evidence that God had taken care of the children of Israel while they were in captivity in Egypt, had brought them through the wilderness experience, and had given them a land in the land of Canaan. They had evidence that God would take care of his own. They had evidence from the written word that when God told Elijah to go in and tell Ahab that there shall not be rain or dew for many days, and that a drought is going to come and possess the land, and there shall be great famine and starvation. They had the record that while the ground was parching, and while cattle were dying on their feet, and while vegetation and leaves were burning up on trees, that God provided a sanctuary for Elijah down at the brook. And there allowed him to lay in the cool shade and drink from the brook of the cool running water, and dispatched the raven to bring him his food twice a day. They had evidence that God would do what he said, that God would take care of his own folk. Isn't that right? They were not afraid of Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace, for they know in whom they believe. Isn't that right? They also had the record. They had the record there in 2 Chronicles, in the 20th chapter. They had the record of where King Jehoshaphat found himself outnumbered by the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir. They had the record of how Jehaziel had come in to Jehoshaphat and said to him, "Why are you trembling with fear? Don't you know that this battle is not yours, but God's? Go on to sleep and go on and get your rest and be prepared for the battle on tomorrow in the mountain." And Jehaziel slept so that night until he overslept. And when he got up to Mount Seir, a great fog had enshrouded the mountaintop. And when the inhabitants of Mount Seir saw the Ammonites, they thought that the Ammonites was the army of Jehoshaphat and slew them. And then when the Moabites came up, then they slew the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and they killed each other. And when Jehoshaphat got there with his army, all of his enemies were already dead. They had the record. And not only had his enemies been killed, it took him 3 days just to collect the spoil, to pick up the jewelry and all that they had left there off of the dead bodies. That statement, to the victor belong the spoils. They knew that if God did it for one of his children, he would do it for another. Can I get a witness? Therefore, when they were threatened by Nebuchadnezzar to be thrown in a fiery furnace, they said, "The God in whom we serve is able." Can I get a witness here? You need to know that the God you serve is able. You need to have that kind of faith that the God that you serve is able. He's able. Whether he will or not is some matter. But we know he's able. We know he can, whether he will or not. But whether he does or not, we still are not going to worship your God. We're just not going to do that, because we are under mandate that we shall have no other God before us. He shall be our only God, and we shall serve him, and him only shall we serve. I told you the other day that God did not allow for anything but monogamy. He wanted to be their only God, and he only wanted them to serve him. Well, then maybe we need to look at this text from 3 points. Defiance, discipline, and deliverance. Maybe we ought to look at this text. Defiance.